Now, thank you again for your presence here this afternoon. It is lovely to have each one of you here. And although there's not a lot, the important ones are here. You are the important people. You are the people that God wants to speak to. Now, we're going to turn to, I'm the other one of the party. Len Walker from Australia. You'll notice it's not an Irish accent. It's that Aussie accent. Can't help that either. It's not my fault. That's where I was born. Now, the Gospel by Luke, that's number 3 in the New Testament. If you have a Bible and you're looking for the place, it's book number 3 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you haven't got a Bible with you, I'll try to read as carefully as I can. And we're going to turn to chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 8. A little later, I may read a little bit more to pick up the context, but I'm pretty certain that most of you know this story about the birth of the Lord Jesus. But verse 8 says, of chapter 2 in Luke, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid," or they were dreadfully afraid. "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, this is the text that I want to emphasize tonight. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, it's not Christmas time, but it's not necessary that we wait until the end of the year before we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, my thoughts were more directed to this because I happened to look on the invitation that has been distributed, and if you receive one, it says something, "Good news for a troubled world. In a world full of disturbing and bad news, there is a message of good news." Now, what Leslie has been bringing to our attention just now, you could not get better news than that. You tell me where you can get better news. But to the media, good news is not good news because it doesn't sell so well. Bad news is good news. And in some places, the more gory the news is, and the more details you can put into it, and the more frightening it comes out, that's good news because people rush to buy it, or they turn on their televisions, and then, of course, the advertisers want to get their ads in there and pay them big money, or the radio, whatever it is. But this news, in a world full of disturbing and bad news, and isn't that true? Isn't there bad news all the time? For example, in Australia, we're just in a political turmoil because some of our politicians who must only be citizens of one country have suddenly been discovered or been told that they belong to other countries as well. One of them belonged to here, to your country. And he was our deputy prime minister, and now he's out. Until they have an election. Yeah, bad news. The country doesn't know if it's coming or going. Yeah? You come to your country. You've got a young lady of 35 now has taken over the helm of the country. Well, for some, that may be good news. It just may change things around, but it may be dreadful news. They tell me she has no political experience. Well, that's almost like getting someone to drive my car that's never driven a car, and I sit back and, oh, hang on, I'm not real sure about this. There's bad news. Our courts are full of it. Our hospitals are full of it. Our jails are full of it. It's everywhere. Bad news. Families are broken up. People are dying. People are being attacked. All these things. Financially. Socially. Morally. We're in a turmoil. And the same goes for all the other countries of the world, just wherever you go. Now, is there good news in the midst of this? And this is what came to my mind, that the angel, when he appeared to the shepherds, he said, "Fear not, don't be afraid." For he said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings," good news, "of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, quite literally, I'm told in the Greek, that is, "I evangelize you." That's the word. I evangelize you with the evangel. Or we don't have that today very often. It is a word, but we would change that for gospel. And that's literally just what gospel means. Good news. The gospel is good news. Interestingly, I arrived here in Dunedin some years ago, and when you fill in your form and what is your occupation, and I thought, well, preacher, maybe that's not just all the best, because I don't preach all the time, because I spend some of the time talking to people as well. So I put evangelist. And I was first off the plane that day and come to the immigration gate, and he looked at my card and he said, "Oh, evangelist, interesting. What do they do?" Well, this is New Zealand. Now, he wasn't too sure whether I was selling meat or whether I was a lecturer or what it was, you know. Evangel. I said, "Well, they evangelize." "Well," they said, "that's interesting, but what's that?" Well, I couldn't go for too long because the line was getting longer behind me, and I thought, well, it's a bit rude to stay. But it's simply good news. And here's a man in your country, and he's never even heard about it. Well, I said, simply, it's telling people that God loves them, just as we've been hearing, and God sent his Son to die for them, and everyone can be saved if they will trust him as Savior. And there it is. The angel said, these shepherds, because mind you, and I don't think we'll read the rest of the story. If you want to and you haven't got a Bible, let's know. We'll make sure you get one. But if you've got a Bible at home, Luke chapter 2, read through the opening verses, not just as a Christmas card type of thing. Read it as a message from God. And of course, when the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then the angel appeared to these shepherds, there they were out in the field at night, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And it says, they were sore afraid. Well, there again, that is, they had a mega fear. Now, we live in a world of mega things today, don't we? Well, I don't know about New Zealand, but we've got Westfield, for example, and they build a mega shopping center. And then, of course, over here, Westfield, who competes against himself, builds a mega, mega shopping center. Then they come back here and they make this smaller one a mega, mega, mega shop. If we want everything big. Well, these shepherds were overtaken with a tremendous fear. I want to say something. Have you ever trembled at the thought of meeting God? Have you ever really trembled at the thought of meeting God? Because it's absolutely, in a sense, essential that we do. Why? Because if I was to meet God in my sin, I'm going to be shut out from his presence forever. Why? Because God is holy. Haven't we just been listening to that? God just can't overlook sin. God can't sweep sin under the carpet. And if in my natural condition, I come face to face with the God of heaven, I'm doomed, I'm damned, I'm shut out from his presence, and I come under his judgment. Have you realized that? Have you come to recognize that? I hope you have. Now, that doesn't sound like good news, does it? But that's where the good news comes in. Because over against that background, I'm a sinner. Well, the Bible says that we're all sinners. None of us are exempt from that. Every single one of us. You know, it's not a matter, do you go to church? Or it's not a matter, do you belong to the right church? Because this would be the problem. If salvation was by going to church, then I've got to ask myself the question, well, which church? If I have to go to church, well, which religion? And people sometimes ask that question. Well, which is the real religion? Which is the right religion? Which religion saves you? Well, I have to answer that question with another question. I return a question. Well, you tell me, which religion died to save you? And of course, you know the answer, don't you? No religion died to save us. No church died to save us. Well, there's our answer. No religion will save me. No church will save me. You could come and you could live, say, for example, here in this gospel hall, people would call it a religious building. You could take up residence here. You could live the rest of your life here and die here and still go to hell. It's not coming here that makes you a Christian. Although I'm glad you've come, because I trust that we get this message to you, this good news that God loves you and Jesus Christ died to save you and you can be saved. Most of us have been to McDonald's and they're known all around the world for their Big Macs. But we didn't become a Big Mac just when we went to McDonald's, did we? Huh? And the bank has lots of money, so they tell me. But I don't get lots of money or turn into lots of money when I walk into a bank. And you don't become a Christian just because you walk into a church or into a building such as this. But the message is this, that unto you, you see, they were afraid. The glory of the Lord. God is glorious. God is holy. And these shepherds saw something of it with the light and the appearance of the angel, and they were afraid. Meet God. I can't. But the angel says, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now notice this. I believe that these shepherds were Jews. But the message was, it's not just to Jews. This is to all people. Oh, for God so loved the Jewish. No, it doesn't say the Jewish people, does it? He loves them. Of course he loves them. But for God so loved the world. Even New Zealanders. Yeah? They're loved too by the God of heaven. And Australians. And I wonder sometimes why God would love Australians, but he does. That's the good news. He says, I bring you this good news which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And just a few simple things. Unto you. The message was personal. It's unto you, he says. The angel said to them, it's unto you. The message is to you. The message is not just to, well, it's the whole world, but it becomes very personal. And this is where we come into the benefit of it. It's not just the fact that, well, God loved the world and I belong to the world, therefore God loves me and he does, so I'm going to heaven. No. Leslie has been trying to emphasize this fact. That God dealt with the matter of sin in such a way that you and I have to simply receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Unto you. That's the message to you. When we lived in Colombia in South America, many of the people that we knew often had problems with their electricity bills. They'd come to you and they would say, it's got the scissors on it. And it'd have a picture of scissors. What it was indicating, if this bill isn't paid, snip, and you're going to lose your electricity. And not always, but sometimes, well, we'd say, well, give the bill to me, or here's the money, and you go and pay the bill. But some would say, oh, yeah, but it is embarrassing. Yeah. just to take the money from you. But all right. Or I pay the bill. And I take the bill with the paid in full to them. Oh, no, no, I couldn't just take this. What do I owe you? Well, you can't pay me because you've just already told me you've got no money to pay me. You can't pay the bill. This is where we were. We could not pay the price. The price, God says, the result of sin, the consequence of sin, or the wages of sin, if you like, is death. Nothing short of that satisfies the just demands of God. It's death. And if I die in my sin, well, I'm shut out from heaven. And that's why God sent his Son, because he was sinless. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him is no sin. That's what the Bible tells us. And what? The sinless one died for me, the sinner. He took my place, and he died for me. So I take the account along, and I pay the bill, and I take it back to the person, and there's your bill. Oh, no, 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 I couldn't just take that. Well, you need it. Why? Because in a day or two's time, it's very likely that the electricity people will come around, and they're going to cut off your electricity supply. You need this. Why? Because when they come and they go to turn the electricity off, you say, sorry. And you show them the bill, but it's paid in full. Well, you imagine one of them saying, oh, well, you wouldn't have the money to pay that. It doesn't matter. It's paid in full. It's been answered for. That debt has been cancelled, and nothing can be said against that. It's stamped and it's signed with the official receipt that the debt has been cancelled, and there it stands. Well, heaven, the God of heaven, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. A Saviour. Now again, that takes us back to where we were earlier. A Savior, and incidentally, Luke is the writer in the Bible that emphasizes save and salvation and the Savior more than the other writers of Matthew and Mark and John. But a Savior indicates that there was some danger. I don't know what you call them here at your beaches, but in Australia with our beaches, they call them now lifeguards. We used to call them lifesavers. And you go to the beach, and someone that's never been there, and they see a little hut there, and it's up high, and they see a couple of people sitting there. Now, what's that for, and who are those people there? Well, they're lifesavers. Well, what do they do? Well, they're there in case you get into danger. And if you get into danger and you signal for them, or sometimes even before that, they will come to rescue you. But a Savior indicates that we have a need. I'm in danger. Well, we are in danger of dying in our sins and missing out on heaven. But the God of heaven loves me, and he loves you. And he gave his Son. Unto you is born this day a Savior. And then it says, he's Christ the Lord. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And these shepherds received this message. And we didn't read over them. But after the angels had gone away as well, because there were other angels that came to them, it said, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Listen carefully, please, and see this thing which has come to pass. They're not going to Bethlehem to see if it has happened. I call these men believing shepherds. The angel said that the Savior was born, and they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They believe the message. Do you? Well, it's one thing to believe about the message. It's another thing to trust the Savior personally. Put your confidence in Him. Rest in Him. In essence, say, God, I can't pay the bill. I'm destitute. It's beyond me. But Jesus Christ has died. And by His death, He has paid the bill. And I rest in Him. You want to know something? I have no other claim for heaven than simply that. I was a sinner, and I am a sinner. And I couldn't pay the price for my sin. But Jesus Christ died to save me, and I rest my case. Or as we sometimes say, I need no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. May God bless you. And if you've never done so, simply trust Him as the one who died to save you. I tell you something, if you do that genuinely, you will never, ever regret having taken that step. Never in your whole life. The day you meet a person that says he or she is a Christian, but they're not happy and they wish they'd never become a Christian, you know that person has never really become a true Christian at all. Because Christianity, belonging to Christ, is a life of joy, a life of happiness, a life of absolute peace in a world of turmoil. Is there good news? Yes. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now let us pray and then we'll sing a hymn together. Our Father, we bow humbly but gratefully before Thee at the close of this gospel meeting. We thank Thee that our Lord Jesus did come, but we thank Thee that Thou wast willing to part with Him and to send Him from heaven and to cause Him to suffer the pain and the suffering of Calvary in order that guilty sinners might be saved and brought near to our holy God. We ask for parting blessing and pray for every person present. Do bless them, we pray, as we commend our ways to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in the small green book, we'd like to sing hymn number 94. I trust that the tune is known. I'm sure it should be because it's a well-known tune. But just before we do, remember that following on tomorrow night, if we're still alive, and right through to Friday night at 7 o'clock, a similar class of meeting will be here to preach the gospel, and we'd love you to come. We'd love you to bring your family. We'd love you to bring your relatives. We'd love you to bring your friends and your neighbors. And if we could fill the hall, it would even be better. But do come back and do respond to God's infinite love. Number 94, if you know the tune, we'll sing just verses 1 and 2.
Tidings, happy tidings about the Son.